I want to welcome all of you again as we are gathered together to worship on this rainy fall morning. In the months of September and October, we have been drawing our sermons from what's called the Revised Common Lectionary, which is a suggested series of readings that actually spans a course of 3 years. And over the 3 years, we'll cover most of the major books of the Bible. Today, our lectionary reading came from Luke chapter 18. It's the passage that I just shared with all of you. And we are going to be looking at the parable of, it's sometimes called the unjust judge, or sometimes called the persistent widow. But before we dive into the parable, let's take a minute and pray together, please. Holy God, not because of me, not through me, but in spite of me, and all of my shortcomings, let your perfect word come to your people. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. So as I said, this parable is sometimes referred to as the parable of the persistent widow. But if I were to retell the parable in this day and age, I might call it the parable of the persistent toddler. I am blessed to have grandchildren. We actually have 9 of them. And our grandchildren have reminded me that toddlers can be very tenacious in their desires and their demands. And I found a video clip that kind of highlights that tenacity. Can you play it for us, Jeremiah?
Alyssa, baby, sure.
Baby chair. Explicit isn't included with Prime, but is available with Amazon.
Alyssa, baby chair. Alyssa, baby chair.
Sure, baby, hold back. By Say Anything on Amazon Music. Here's a sample of Baby Shark by Johnny Only on Amazon Music.
Okay. Alexa, play Baby Shark.
Baby Shark by Pink Floyd, starting now on Amazon Music.
Song stuck in your head for the rest of the day. I just want to let you know that. She didn't give up, right? She kept trying and trying and trying and trying until finally she turned to her mom and said, "Tell Alexa." She was persistent, right? And so was the widow in the gospel lesson that we heard for today. And one of the challenges of this parable is that it almost sounds like Jesus is saying, if you just nag God long enough, God will finally get worn down and give you whatever you ask. But that is not the point of the parable, all right? The point of the parable is that we are to be persistent in prayer. Not because persistence in prayer changes anything about God, but because persistence in prayer can change things about us. Let me share a quote that a very wise man once wrote. I will give credit to my father for this. The purpose of prayer is not to get God to do things differently. The purpose of prayer is not to change God's mind or alter God's will. Prayer is that struggle of heart and soul in which we try to discern God's will for us and try to conform our will to God's will. Prayer is not a battle plan by which we attempt to change God for our sakes. Prayer is that peace we seek as we are changed for God's sake. That's why we are persistent in prayer. This week on Friday and Saturday, I was on the south side of Richmond for a conference called Fresh Expressions. And the theme of the conference is that there are a lot of people, depending on whose numbers you look at, between 40 and 60% of the population of the United States who have absolutely no desire to be inside the walls of the church on a Sunday morning. And Fresh Expressions is an attempt to help us think outside the box. So instead of trying to get those 40 and 60% of people inside the church, to go outside the walls of the church and meet them where they are. One of the things that we did as part of that conference was a prayer walk through some of the neighborhoods in Richmond. So for 2 hours, we were split up into small groups of people, and we were each assigned different addresses in different neighborhoods. And I went with two other women, and we walked for 2 hours around the neighborhood. And we noticed the people who were around us and the sights and sounds of those neighborhoods. We were actually near a very large hospital, and so there were frequently ambulances going by. And we would pray for the people who were in the ambulances as they went by. There were people, two individuals, on the side of the street at different places who were standing there with signs asking for money. And we prayed for them. We prayed for the two men that we struck up a conversation with. Their names were Glenn and Jerry. And they were sitting outside of a senior assisted living facility, and they were cracking us up because they were just ribbing each other and telling jokes with one another, and we prayed for them. And for 2 hours, we just surrounded that community with prayer, and it was an experience that really filled my heart, and I hope we can do something like that in our community, too. But while I was at that conference, I met a Baptist minister. His name is Nelson Parker. And he shared with us his own experience of prayer walking. And as he was telling me his story, he said in 2012, he was watching TV with his son. And there was a show that came on where the characters in the show took some of the clothing out of their closet and gave it to a homeless shelter. And he said, it was like God kind of tapped him on the shoulder and said, maybe you should do something. And so he went into his closet, and he took out a bunch of clothing that he never used, and he drove to a shelter, and he gave his clothing away. Now, he was on staff at a Baptist church at the time. He wasn't serving as a pastor, but he was on staff at a Baptist church at the time. And he lived in a pretty affluent neighborhood, and after he did that once, he felt so good about himself that he decided he would do it again. So he went through his closet again and found some more clothes and gave them away. And that felt so good, and he was really proud of himself, and so he did it a third time and went through his closet and his dressers and gathered up clothes and gave it away. And he said after the third time, God smacked him on the head. Has that ever happened to you? Happened to me. So there are times when God just smacks you on the head. And he said, God said to me, I don't want you to spend all of your time just giving away clothes to these people. I want you to get to know these people. Oh, that's a different thing. And so, being an obedient person, He actually listened to what God said, and he spent the next several months meeting with people and talking with people about the problems of poverty and homelessness and trying to actually engage with people who were in these situations. And as part of his process, he went to a Baptist church in the north side of town. It's called Northminster Baptist Church, which had a really vital ministry to the homeless population that was around there. It was a church that was primarily attended by white people in a neighborhood that was becoming more and more African American. And if you understand the dynamics of how that often works in churches, the population of the church membership was declining because the church was not being very effective at reaching out to the neighbors that were around them. And he was so impacted by his visit to that church that it had a profound influence on his life. And as he shared his story, I said to him afterwards, I'm preaching on prayer this Sunday. Would it be okay if I tell your story to my congregation? And he said, yes. And as a matter of fact, I have a video that I made that gives part of that story. And I'd like us to watch it now.
What I've learned some 2.5 years ago was that my prayer life was hurting my relationship with God. Fast-paced world, and I would use prayer as a means of checking it off a to-do list. Now, if you think prayer is a to-do list, then you're wrong. Prayer is a relationship with God. If you don't spend the time with God in prayer, then you won't have much of a relationship. I also underestimated what God could do through me. I wasn't giving the God of all his due. I always prayed for what I wanted. But when Christ was teaching about prayer, he said, "Thy will be done, not my will." In January 2012, I was invited to come out here to the Free Market at Northminster Church. When I came out here, I was introduced to Eureka, who serves on the Leadership Council, and she took me on a tour of the facilities. I was amazed by the sheer size of this place, not to mention the gorgeous sanctuary that exists. During the tour, she told me that there were only about 150 people left that were going to Northminster. I couldn't believe that there were that few of people that were in attendance. And it was at that point that God laid it on my heart to start praying for this church. So I decided to pray that God would fill this place and pray for God-sized dreams, dreams that only he can fulfill. It's only God that can do something this large. In January 2012, the staff and I were reading the book, The Circle Maker by Mark Batterson. Mark suggests that you circle your biggest dreams and pray in that circle. So it was then that I came out here to the north side and started to circle Northminster Church. And along that way, God pressed upon me to pick up trash. I said, "Why on earth would I pick up trash?" But God said, "This is holy ground." So I started to pick up trash. And for months, I saw no movement whatsoever with anybody in the neighborhood. And so I continued to show up and continued to pray and continued to pick up trash. And what I knew was that people were watching me from afar. And then one day it happened. Sure enough, a lady came out who lives across the street from where the sanctuary is, and she asked, or she said, "Thank you for picking up the trash." And I said, "You're welcome." And she asked, "Do you go to this church?" And I said, "No." And then she asked, "Do you live in the neighborhood?" And I said, "No." And then she said, "Well, where do you live?" And I said, Southside. And she had this puzzled look on her face. And sure enough, she said, why do you drive all this way to pick up trash here in this neighborhood? And I said, because God told me to. And she said, well, bless you. And I said, yes, he blesses me quite a bit. Fast forward another 8 months, and a gentleman by the name of Reverend Willie Woodson joined me. He is the pastor of First United Presbyterian Church. And Willie came and joined me to pray for this neighborhood and for this church. And one day I was telling Willie about this lady that had asked me or had thanked me about picking up the trash. Sure enough, as we were turning the corner onto Montrose Avenue and I was telling him the story, Sharon, the lady that lives in the house, came out and said, Reverend, what are you doing here? Turns out that Reverend Willie is her reverend at First United Presbyterian Church. This fountain means a lot to me. It's my favorite place of all of the property around here at Northminster. Every morning when I come out to pray, I stop here and say the Lord's Prayer. The fountain hasn't been running in years, but one day I'm praying that it will come back to life and mean everything to the neighborhood, that they can see life back in this church. What I've learned is that the journey is more important than the answer, but keep praying till you get the answer. I have fallen in love with the people of Northminster and the people of Northside. And that has been more important than the answer that I've received so far. But I keep walking and keep praying that God will fill this place. That is my prayer, my God-sized prayer, that I know God will answer in His time and in His will. So keep praying.
Walking that neighborhood around that church, which wasn't even in the community where he lived, because it was on his heart. What he doesn't share in that video is that after those 2 years, his wife called him one day and said, hey, there's a house for sale near Northminster. What do you think about moving? And he said, I haven't thought about moving. And she said, if I say I'm willing to go, you would want to move there, wouldn't you? And he said, yes, I would. I've come to love that neighborhood. So they left their home in a very affluent part of Richmond and moved into a neighborhood that many people would not choose to move to. And after he moved to that neighborhood, Northminster Church reached out to him, and he is now their pastor. Isn't that amazing? Persistence in prayer. Not because it changes God, but because it changes us. And it changes our hearts, and it changes our lives. May we be persistent in prayer. Will you pray with me, please? Holy God, we thank you so very much that you invite us to come to you in prayer, to speak with you about our hopes and our fears and our longings, our heartache and our anger and our hurt. Help us, Lord, to be persistent in prayer, not so that you will be changed, but so that we will be changed to become more like the people you created us to be. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen.